Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Put some respect on our name because especially it's too damn Friday and the ladies are still lit. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It is the First Take, her takeover part two here on ESPN Radio with Janae Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, and Charlie Arnold, as you see her all the time on First Take and Sports Nation.
What's we are presented by Progressive Insurance.
All guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. What'd you say, Charlie?
So put some respect on our name.
Put some respect on our names, and I love that. And we've been here literally all day long at the network. For me, it's been 4:30 a.m., 7:30 a.m. for you all, starting with First Take, and it's been a very special run, and we're very grateful for that. But we also know that we deserve that. Our voices should be heard. Now, the girls will be with me this entire hour to keep talking about a lot of the things that big personalities in the sports world have said. And even later on, we'll be joined on, by Monica McNutt, our excellent basketball analyst. And I guess we should start with the personalities first and foremost, because Draymond Green's latest comments had us talking, Bill Belichick's taking some heat, and even Richard Sherman's take on the 49ers QB, all interesting. We'll get to that this hour. But first and foremost, this is a wellness check. The weekend is almost here. Are we caffeinated enough? Are we good, ladies?
You want our my honest answer? You want my, like, I'm
honesty
at work and I'm going to be perfect? No, I am... Definitely not caffeinated enough at this point. I could use a lot more, but here was the problem. Yesterday, because we did the 3 hours on the radio, I consumed way too much caffeine too late in the day to keep myself really energized for the 3 hours of the radio show. I could not fall asleep last night. And then I woke up at 4 a.m. wide awake, couldn't get back to sleep. So I essentially have not slept since two nights ago.
I was up at 4, too.
I'm not in a good place right now, ladies.
You know what's funny, Kimberly? I was up at 4, too, but it was because of the time zone. If my body was set different on the other coast, I'd be up way later, but it's all good. But let's start the conversation here because I feel like we deserve a final verdict based on how much we've been talking about him lately. And I'm speaking of Draymond Green. So final takes here, ladies. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Again, he's in the news, y'all. And the U.S. Women's National Team star Megan Rapinoe obviously ripped Draymond Green's remarks, saying that it was unfortunate that an athlete, based on what he said, pointing the blame, almost basically mansplaining about the problems with the women's game to women and saying, hey, why aren't you doing more, not knowing that the women have been doing the work. And now, you know, Megan Rapinoe had comments back at him, and then now Draymond Green is basically trying to explain his point of view. And he said, quote, his point of view has, quote, been extremely misconstrued. I am on their side. At the end of the day, what Megan wants and what I want is the same thing. And if she believes that doing something a certain way gets her to the end goal, I'm all for that. And if I believe doing something a certain way gets us to the end goal, I'm for that as well. So if we can both do something to move the needle to get to the end goal, great. And again, he said he has no complaints, whatever, whether it is, you know, what she's doing, speaking of Megan, or what he's doing, or anyone that's trying to help drive their cause and what they want to be done. It doesn't really matter to me how you get there. What does matter is that we get there. And I know we've been talking about him this week, and this seems like it's been like a ping pong match back and forth. But did you see or hear anything different, Kimberly, from Draymond Green when he tried to re-clarify his statement in about 13 minutes after his game?
I use the air quotes mockingly because his words were not misconstrued. I think he did a poor job of expressing the real intention. The minute you say women are complaining, you know, then we got to hit pause and say, do you really understand what we're talking about here? But I will say, I feel like, you know, we had fun on First Take this morning and, you know, we all got shots in on Draymond. I want to say I do respect and love the passion, whether it's on the court or just with his opinion. I love that. And I love the intent behind what he's trying to say, but his explainer, not really apology thing, he did have an issue with how, you know, the way women are going about their business, because that's what prompted him to speak. He felt like all they were doing was complaining, and they need to, you know, put feet to the fire and really, you know, do things that, you know, if he'd paused for a second, he would have seen that women have not only been women athletes have been talking about the, whether it's unfair or the unequal representation, or not just pay, but just the support, the commitment, the backing, financial and otherwise. So listen, respect Draymond. He's going to keep talking how he feels, which I appreciate, but he has to catch heat when he doesn't articulate himself just the right way, which any of us on a public stage, we would have to face the same consequences, I think. What do you think, Charlie?
You know, it doesn't help anyone to remain upset or bitter about things that were said. I think when you look at his original comments, I mean, the fact is the way he laid it all out there was incorrect. But also the damage that he did, even in the short term, I think is meaningful, because then, you know, there's a lot of other people who are just going to jump on board, whether they're other men or what might be the case. But I just think that, you know, once you make accusations like that, like, oh, all you do is complain, you're actually setting back the mission further than where it was even before you made those comments. So, I mean, I do think you can't really undo that, but I respect the fact that he came back and said, I just want to get to the same place that you do as well. I would like to just now maybe see him, you know, if you are really serious about, hey, look, I have the same goals as you, all right, prove it. Like, let your actions speak louder than your words at this point, because you know, made sure to make your bed. Now you can lie in it. Let's help the women out. Let's see how you can really, you know, help to further the cause. And but I mean, he's a passionate guy. I think sometimes he speaks more out of just raw emotion, maybe, rather than what he really means. But look, now let's use this as a way to get him on board and maybe have him drop some initiatives to help further the cause that so many women are trying to push right now in the sports world.
And you're absolutely right. And you guys know on First Take, I brought up the idea of like, all right, talking is great and raising awareness, but we really follow action. And I was brought to, after seeing the back and forth the past few days, to the legacy of Kobe Bryant as someone that has constantly showed up. He didn't say much, but he showed up. He came to games. He trained us WNBA players in the offseason. He really did everything that you could have asked of an ambassador, of an ally, of an accomplice. And so for Draymond Green to try to do things in his own ways, it does have repercussions when it is factually inaccurate, but we do respect the passion. And Charlie, you brought up something, because he is a guy that just speaks on raw emotion. I just want to note that a lot of people are also talking about his comments where he basically said young players in this league, and he said it on Kevin Durant's Et Cetera's podcast, they soft as hell. I found myself trying to talk ish to some of these young dudes that won't talk, and they're like trying to be my friend. That's what these young dudes do nowadays. I don't understand it. So Draymond is just all gas, no breaks. We understand who he is. He just has to know when you talk about your peers, they'll keep that same energy. When you talk about the women's game, we will correct, because that's exactly what we have to do. Too much is at stake. But, you know, clearly Draymond's comments, you know, put him this week in the hot seat. Well, he's definitely not the only one. A former player and Pro Bowler said Bill Belichick should be on the hot seat.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, in about 10 minutes, we will address the quarterback debate that's going on, especially with the draft coming up, as another player has entered the chat. Richard Sherman, Stanford's only, with the 49ers, actually, you know, NFL free agent, just considering talking about that pick, that number three pick, and which quarterback should be taken there. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But right now, it's Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's the First Take, her take over, as Charlie likes to say. Jhené Ogbumike, Kimberly A. Martin.
No, Kimberly made that up. I can't take credit for that.
It was you, Kimberly?
Wait, or was it you, Jhené?
I'm real creative, yes. I do a couple things, yes.
Well, okay, it wasn't me. I can't take credit.
Ova with Kimberly A. Martin. But y'all, I'm just very relieved because we finally settled things on Draymond Green, hopefully for a very long time, ladies. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But guess what? And speaking of Kimberly authoring things, excellent reporter in the NFL, things remain spicy because LeVar Arrington, former NFL player and three-time Pro Bowler, said this. He said of the Patriots coach Bill Belichick that he needs to, quote, have a good season this year. Having the type of season that the Patriots had last year can make you rethink a whole lot of things that you did not in the past. Now, it's been interesting because when comparing to last year, now you're seeing the struggles. And, quote, he said, it was Tom. It was always Tom. It couldn't have been anything else but Tom. And Bill Belichick has to show before he gets too far away from Tom Brady leaving that it was not Tom Brady, that it was, in fact, and indeed, the system of what Bill Belichick built in New England, basically saying that Bill Belichick has to prove that it was the system and not Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady just walked away with another Super Bowl. Now, Damian Woody, our own ESPN NFL analyst and former New England Patriot, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and said that Brady obviously could play outside of the Patriot way. More than one way to skin a cat, ladies and gentlemen. That was Damian Woody, our own ESPN NFL analyst. And I know that makes us uncomfortable because we're being careful with how we give those metaphors, but we love him. So Kimberly, hearing on one side a former player say, hey, there's pressure on Bill Belichick to prove he can win without Tom Brady. And on another side, you see a former Patriot saying, hey, Tom Brady had a pathway based on his greatness to figure out how to make things work. Where do you side on this?
I think last season just showed that if you don't have a really good quarterback, then you're not going to have a good season, right? I think it's bigger than Bill and Tom Brady. I think that's just a fact across football. But the idea that somebody like Bill Belichick would be on the hot seat right now, like, they went 7-9. We had COVID. We had Cam Newton coming off injury, who also caught COVID. We had a bunch of guys, excuse themselves from the season. So you had a Hall of Fame QB leave. Like, to expect that the Patriots would just keep on chugging along when all those variables are at play is not fair to Belichick. Tom Brady is great and is the GOAT and can be great, and clearly he's a wonderful quarterback and he's a Super Bowl champion, you know, seven times over. But Belichick's greatness has already been established. Regardless of what happens in 2021, he's already one of the greatest coaches ever. So to act like in New England, Robert Kraft is sitting there like, I don't know, if they don't make the playoffs, I might have to get rid of this guy. I think that's a stretch. I think that's more us whispering, other people chattering, as opposed to what people actually feel in the Patriots organization. This man has been doing it for as long. I mean, he's almost 70, I think. Like, come on now, put some respect on his name. Put some respect on Bill Belichick's name, a fellow Wesleyan grad like myself. So,
Charlie?
Okay, so I don't think that Bill Belichick is on the hot seat. I don't think it has gone that far or will go that far should the 21-22 season not be the success that they want it to be. And by success, that's such a vague term. I mean, what is success defined as? Making the playoffs, winning a Super Bowl, having a better record than last season, which, for the love of God, I hope that for them. But I think that when you think about it, though, Tom Brady left and in his first year going to the Bucs won a Super Bowl. And you know, as much as we say Bill Belichick doesn't care, he doesn't listen, he cares. He 100% goes to sleep every single night and thinks about how Tom Brady left and has already won a Super Bowl with his new team in the first year. And I know for a fact, look, I don't know for a fact, but like, I'm just imagining. The Patriots organization does feel a certain type of way. And now they're like, oh, no, like, we can't have this be, like, we have to, we can't have him go off and do such great things and we'd be left behind in the dust. Like, they do need to reestablish some dominance without Tom Brady. I think that's important. But no, I don't think Bill Belichick is on the, quote, hot seat.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you think about how these players and now coach, player and coach, determine their own destinies. And it's probably a quicker fix for Tom to identify a team that will work to his strengths. Going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, knowing that he's going to play with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and a number of guys, knowing that their defense had potential, and you saw how that defense got better and better as the year went on and almost, you know, has a large portion of reason why they, you know, won the Super Bowl. And so that's easy for Tom Brady to be plugged and play at a place where he knows this is probably his best chance at success. On the other hand, when you're Bill Belichick having to rebuild an entire franchise, especially in a year where you're doing a pandemic season where you have a league high of COVID opt-outs and your quarterback gets coronavirus and you play without him and it just never was right after that. They were 7-9. You're right, Charlie. They can only go up from here. And I let's hope, fingers crossed, because everything's better with my people in New England on the East Coast, based on the way the show is set up when the Patriots are kind of better. So yeah, definitely not on the hot seat, but I do think he does stay up night, you know, up at night, probably thinking like, oh, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about that ex that's thriving. It's been really funny. It's been crazy. But y'all, guess what? The talk does not stop, because since we're talking about Super Bowl champs, let's go to another. Richard Sherman. He's been making some waves when it comes to the 49ers. And basically, there's a question based on his comments. Is Mac Jones the 49ers' best option with the number 3 pick overall over Justin Fields?
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I am a woman that loves her bling. And Junior makes fun of me all the time for that. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's the First Take, Her Take Over. Jhené Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, and Charlie Arnold. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, in about 10 minutes, as we have fun this Friday, we will talk about our favorite rings, because we all love bling, and they're better than championship rings, because Shaka Claus came early. So much fun. Can't wait for that. But first, let's head to the field, y'all, because a lot of NFL analysts have said, and they think that Kyle Shanahan likes Mac Jones, you know, and I said this on First Take. I don't know if you guys caught me. I was like, Mac Jones, who? Mac Jones. Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. That's totally Mac Jones energy right now, because the 49ers quarterback of the future looks to be.
Okay,
it is Mike, but it works for the name.
No,
just have fun. It's Friday.
Here's what I want for Mac Jones. I want his nickname has become Big Mac Jones, and I want him to get an endorsement deal from McDonald's. That's what I want for Mac
I
Jones.
Love that. And
yes,
for those
because
who don't,
we love McDonald's. We love McDonald's.
I'm obsessed
McDonald's.
With McDonald's.
Well,
and then
obsessed.
I want to be best friends with Mac Jones, and he brings me on board, or at least gives me free food forever.
That might be better than who, Mac Jones? I think you're right. Big Mac Jones actually works very, very well. But speaking of which, it was interesting because former 49ers cornerback and current NFL free agent Richard Sherman went on a podcast, the Chris Collinsworth podcast, and said, quote, I think people are missing out on the big picture. They've had this huge discussion about black quarterbacks and how they're kind of stereotyped in. They're not the hard worker. They are athletic. They're this, they're that. And that's where they start pigeonholing Justin Fields. He's literally the most efficient, if not the most efficient quarterbacks in the draft. He has similarities to what Jimmy Garoppolo does. Jimmy G is very efficient quarterback. He's going to have high completion percentage. And so basically he was attributing Richard Sherman qualities that 49ers sort of liked in Jimmy G that could potentially be there for Justin Fields. It's important to note that Richard Sherman also said Jimmy G will likely be the starter in 2021, but he thinks that Justin Fields will make Kyle Shanahan's offense so much more dynamic. So, Kimberly, is Big Mac Jones the 49ers' best option with a number 3 overall pick, or do you think Justin Fields should definitely stay in the conversation?
You know, I totally see what Richard is saying, because – you know, in talking to people about the 49ers, you know, when you mock Mac Jones to the 49ers, it's, well, he's similar to Matt Ryan, or it's similar, like you can plug and play him instead of Jimmy G, like it's seamless. I get that, and I totally understand that. But the counter to that is, you know, Kyle Shanahan he inherited Matt Ryan. You know, it's yes, they did make the Super Bowl. I was actually at that Super Bowl where they blew it. But you know, at this point, when you got a chance, when you move up, you're that aggressive to move up in the draft. Do you, you know, people have said to me, do you want the same old, same old? You know, Justin Fields, as Richard Sherman was saying, he's a dual threat guy. He's a pocket passer. He's primarily a pocket passer, but he can extend plays with his legs. He can win games with his legs. You know, you talk about heart, like, you know, does this kid love football? You watch him in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson, where he outplayed Trevor Lawrence, though I'm not saying that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is that dude. But to watch him in the Sugar Bowl and to see him go down with that really bad injury and him saying, oh, they shot me up and I came out, like, that's hard. That's a guy that, as a teammate, you see, like, okay, he's a dog. We can win with him. But I will throw in another guy. Because when in the conversation of who should the 49ers take, I hear, yeah, Mac Jones, but I hear Trey Lance. So, you know, he's a kid. Experience is a downside because people say, well, he didn't start that many games. I get that. But he has everything. He can throw it. He can run it. You talk about Mac Jones gets praised for being that quick processor. Trey Lance, people say the same thing about him. So that's an interesting guy. I'm curious if Trey Lance might be the guy because they have Jimmy G there. He can play this year. You give Trey Lance some time, get some seasoning, just like marinate a little bit in the NFL, and away we go in 2022, excuse me. So that'll be interesting.
It's the first take, her takeover of Chenea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio. Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold here. And the pressure is building. You're right, Kimberly. And Jeff Darlington, our own ESPN NFL insider, actually talked about this, saying that Justin Fields, his second pro day, is all about the 49ers. That's Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL reporter. And Charlie, as someone who has probably one of, if not the hardest job at ESPN, sitting between Max and Stephen A. as they debate these questions and these quarterbacks, how have you seen the conversation amongst those two even evolve?
I mean, I think everyone right now is, the thing with the draft is you have ideas of how things are going to pan out, but truly at the end of the day, you just don't know. There have been so many, oh, what ifs, or but this, or what if this happens, or oh, will they trade up, will they trade down? No one knows what's going to happen. I mean, and even like when you imagine a player being a perfect fit for a certain system, do you really know? Like, if you ask me, I think Justin Fields is a great fit for the 49ers. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has already made it clear he wants a quarterback that can move around with ease and can avoid the pass rush. And for me, that is Justin Fields over Mac Jones. I like his size. I like the way he moves. He's quick. He can run the ball. I think that he has a bit more of a experienced quarterback aura to him, which I think will fit well with Kyle Shanahan's offense. So for me, that's the quarterback I would go with if I was in the 49ers front office, which I'm not. So I can offer my steadfast
We're lucky we're not. That's a tough, this is tough, tough
Look,
choice.
Our network is very grateful, Charlie, that you're not in the 49ers front office because you play referee to some of the biggest ballers each and every day on TV. I don't know how you handle it, girl.
I mean, honestly, it's just so entertaining. The things you hear and, like, you just never know what to expect. And I just love it when you have the producer and they're like, we got to go to break. And I'm like, but I can't say anything. I can't get a word out. And eventually you're like, okay, no more. Shut
Time
up.
Out. Audible, be quiet, shut up. It's all good. But hey, girl, do you do that extremely well, Charlie Arnold, First Take host and also Sports Nation, but man, you're great with coming up with nicknames. Big Mac Jones, better than who? Mac Jones.
I'm going to make this happen. I'm literally going to contact McDonald's and I'm going to be like, yo, this is it. This is the deal. And I think once they get wind of it, they're going to be like, you're right. This is home run. Touchdown.
Why didn't we think of this ourselves?
Yeah. Put him on a burger. But it's really funny because the third pick overall, it seems great. It seems nice. But there is building pressure to really get it right. Now, before my ladies bounce, we have to do something that we do best. Spill the tea, baby. Someone got a ring this week. And the major winner, obviously, is him, but also the sports star who brought it home. The best thing we saw this week on the First Take, her take over of Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are rolling deep today. Now, at the top of the hour, we will be joined by Monica McNutt to get us set for everything happening in the NBA. I mean, we will be in hoop heaven passing the rock back and forth. But let's send off my family here right now. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. I love how big Charlie smiles every time the TV comes on. It's the First Take, her take over. Chanae Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, and Charlie Arnold. And ladies, it has been a week. We normally do our podcast on Tuesdays/Wednesdays. Everyone can check out the First Take, her take podcast, hosted by us, the trio you're seeing right now on ESPN Plus and listening to on ESPN Radio. It's a podcast that discusses and debates the biggest sports stories and delves into other topics in our lives and culture. New episodes every Wednesday. It's really special. I mean, honestly, it's not often that you get to just kick it with your girls, vibe out, and speak our truths in a very safe space. So from the bottom of my heart, y'all, from the past 2 days, from 4:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., it's been really fun going on the network on First Take, doing our pod, and now taking over ESPN Radio with you ladies. So I appreciate you guys.
No, all love, back and forth.
They tired. They've been holding down.
I have no other words. Goodbye.
Well, it's okay.
No, I don't want to get emotional. I'm not trying to get emotional and ruin my eye makeup. I'm not trying to do it. No, but I think Freddie Coleman earlier today mentioning on First Take that he would have been bowled over if a few years ago somebody had said, hey, you know, ESPN is going to roll out a podcast featuring three very strong women, two being black women, to talk about not just sports, but how sports intersects with whether it be social justice or political issues or just life, our personal lives, and where we come from and what drives us and fuels us. And obviously, spill some tea along the way. Hello.
Yeah.
Freddie was like, that. I couldn't have imagined that. So the fact that we have been able to become family, that's dope to me.
It really is, and it's been really fun. And, you know, he said it even just for a podcast. I never thought we'd have three amazing women holding down First Take, which is our, you know, our
I know, right?
Yeah, and it's so amazing. So it's been a great journey, and we just getting started.
And
now,
you know what? Someone,
someone
tweeted at me. They said Thursday, because yesterday was the first day we took over First Take this week. They said every Thursday should be, and they spelled it T-hers day.
To hers
day. You get it? They're like, every Thursday should be to hers day.
Yes, I think,
all right, run up the flagpole. Run up Dave Roberts. Yeah. Get on it. Let's
Dave Roberts, everybody. Yeah, to hers day. Let's just, that would be good. One day a week, because right now all of us like have 50-11 jobs, so we need load management. We need load 50-11. Management at this point. All right, y'all, let's have some fun, because we talked about the bling, our favorite version of bling, I guess, as women in sports. It's championship rings and engagement, wedding rings. Now, NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal was recently at an Atlanta jewelry store where he saw a man, you know, about to buy a ring. And guess what? He offered to purchase it for him. The gesture was caught on camera. It was super cute. It quickly went viral.
The guy obviously said yes.
Well, duh. Yeah, girl. I'm like, you want to swipe it twice? Like, it's so funny. And Shaq was asked about it as he worked on air. And he said, this happened yesterday. I was in Zales looking for some new earrings. And I saw a guy. I saw the guy. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe you to pay off the ring? And then, you know, Shaq stepped in and tried to low-key, you know, just give him his credit card. And so, Charlie, I mean, what do you like the most about this? Because you said on air today on First Take, this was so wholesome.
Okay, first of all, you know what I love the most about this? I love that Shaq shops at Zales, all right? Shaq is one of us, okay? He's not getting that custom jewelry from Jacob the Jeweler or whoever else is out in the West Coast. He's at sales, all right? I respect it. Man of the people. But I also, I hope in for the guy's wife that he had already decided to add some upgrades to that ring before Shaq approached him, because I want her to have the biggest, baddest ring possible. But no, I think it's amazing. I mean, now that her first ring was purchased by Shaq, the husband really doesn't have any excuse why for the first anniversary there shouldn't be another ring, let's say. Okay. I just think it's awesome. I mean, what an awesome thing. And I said we should all like make it our mission to do something nice for someone else soon. I said today, but the day's almost over, so if you haven't done it yet, we'll give you tomorrow too.
And by the way, you lead to a really great point, because Shaq also said this is something that I do every day. He said that he and his mother were recently furniture shopping, and he offered to pay for a mom who had an autistic daughter, aww, you know, helping with the furniture, quote saying, "I'm into making people happy, so whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a very good deed." And Charlie, nice. Yes. The goal. Each and every day, make someone smile, and Shaq has done that. Now, as the married lady on the First Take Her Take podcast, which drops every Wednesday,
she's got that ring.
What'd you think, girl?
Well, the first thing I thought was like, I'm sure if my husband has not seen that clip, he's probably like, "Where the hell was Shaq when I was trying to buy this ring?" I loved it because it just restored my faith in humanity. I think 2020, all of it, we've just been dealing with so much stress and loss, and it was just such a beautiful thing to see Shaq just do a good deed. I don't think we spend so much time focused on the negative a lot of times, so he didn't know that guy, and that's the beauty of it. In your own small way, like Charlie said, like you can, in your neighborhood, in your community, you can be that Shaka Claus. It doesn't have to be financial. It can just be a kind word. It can be, tell somebody you look nice today. Do think about how you can make the day better for somebody else. Not all of us have, our pockets aren't lined like Shaq, so we can't be buying engagement rings for other people, but
no,
we can
yet.
Do nice things in our own way. Not yet.
Yeah, no, and that was the energy that we love. I was even telling a story about how I saw that video, and then side by side, I saw Kyrie Irving buying chocolates from one of the kids that were selling chocolates right before the game. And I was like, and he didn't just like buy a ring. He dropped a wad of cash, which, you know, when it comes to NBA players, a wad of cash, that's a lot of money. It's not
that's
them dollars.
They
probably got
money.
Like 20s. Ladies, thank you
so much
for joining us
here
on ESPN. Thank you guys for joining. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Get some rest, and we'll do the
pod again. We did it, ladies. We did it. We did it. Congrats.
We definitely did.
Subscribe, follow.
Yes, subscribe, rate, and review. Shout out to Shaq, NBA champion, four-time champion, for coming through on the clutch. And there's more hoops coming with Monica McNutt, our basketball analyst. So how about this? Let's talk about Brooklyn. Who is more important to the Nets' success, James Harden or Kevin Durant? We are switching seats now on the First Take, her takeover of Chenan Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chenan and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.